Good morning, everybody. I'm Roberta Fernandez, and this is Minding Your Health, the show that helps you find ways to take back control in issues regarding your mental and your physical health. I'm a board-certified hypnotist here and a certified hypnosis instructor at the Fair Hypnosis Center in Eden Prairie, and I use hypnosis to help people succeed when nothing else's work. Today, we're going to be talking about the emotional impacts and stress of divorce. Many clients that I see have had difficult times in their lives, things that have caused a great variety of powerful emotions, and most continue, they heal and they continue on with their life. However, there may be times when things trigger those old emotions that you thought you'd already dealt with and that you were done with, and we may or may not know even what those triggers are and understand them or how and why they're affecting us. So because emotions are formed, beliefs are created, and memories are stored in our subconscious mind, and it's often that they come to the surface when a client is in hypnosis. So this is actually a very good thing because we can deal with them once the clients have these insights, or what I like to call my little Oprah aha moments. I'd also like to preface today's show by saying that this topic is experienced by all genders, and this applies to everyone, not just women, although we're going to be focusing on women today. So as we proceed through our conversation, just know that emotions are all equal opportunity. So that being said, I want to introduce my guest today, Barb Greenberg. Barb is the founder and CEO of Rediscovering You, and that's you like in university. This is a company that helps women move through divorce and into a new life with strength and courage and the ability to make the wisest decisions possible. After only 16 months in business, Barb was honored to be named the Minnesota Women's Press as one of their change makers of the year. So Barb, welcome.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This is really going to be fun.
Oh, I think so too, Barb. So I got to ask you, how did Rediscovering You come into existence?
Well, it was rather a surprise to me. I divorced after many, many years of marriage. It was very painful. I ended up on the sofa eating boxes of Kraft macaroni and cheese, which is not the wisest thing to do. And I wrote a couple books, and from the books, I started doing a few workshops, and the workshops eventually developed into Rediscovering You. And the name is because the U stands for university, because we provide education.
Okay.
And the rediscovering is that it is a really difficult transition for many people, but in that process, you can rediscover, you know, yourself.
Who you are. That's right. And I think a lot of people, myself included, I was married for 27 years. You kind of lose who you are in that process of being that couple. And so when you're no longer that couple anymore, it's like I don't, you know, people always talk about finding themselves. And I used to laugh at that term, but it is part of that process when you've been part of a couple for a long time to know what was you and what was them. Or you with them. So tell me just briefly, what kind of services do you provide?
We do a little bit of everything, which I love. We hold in-person classes weekly, almost every week, at the Ridgedale YMCA, and we bring in different speakers, and we balance the nuts and bolts information, you know, the attorney, the financial planner, the mortgage banker, yeah, with the more heartfelt, healthy boundaries, finding yourself, rediscovering joy, finding your power again, understanding grief, just a ton. We do a happy hour once in a while, because when you are no longer a part of a couple, where do you go out?
Right.
So just to be with other people and relax and know you're not alone is huge. We have a retreat. We have a list of resources. So if you don't know who to trust as an attorney or a financial planner or a therapist or a wellness person, we have a list on our website. And we're also starting to video some of our classes. So we will have online videos for
nice.
People to watch, so if they can't get to us, there's still education.
Excellent. You know, Barb, in my practice, I clearly see how emotions and stress affect a person's physical and mental health. And divorce is a highly emotional matter for everybody that's involved. And I find that those who have chosen to go it alone, you know, not to seek out help, or even if it's just, I don't necessarily mean therapy, although some of us could really use that, just, you know, being able to talk talk to a best friend. And in divorce, sometimes those friends are his friends too. And you know, you only know other couples, and those couples actually have issues with divorce. You know, I remember when I got my divorce, I had a couple of very close friends we'd known for 30 years together as a couple, and they were highly affected by my divorce. You know, if it could happen to us, oh my gosh, could it happen to them? So there's a lot of lasting issues, and the people that are going through it sometimes feel really alone, but they're not. There are resources like you, and there are other people experiencing that. So today we're going to dive into some of the most common emotions that you and I see that women are dealing with. So let's first talk about grief. What's so unique about the grief of divorce?
Well, one of my favorite quotes about grief is chaos. Oh. And I thought, that kind of sums it up, doesn't it?
It does.
And when you're dealing with divorce, the quote I still hear often is, it's like a death, only that darn body keeps walking around.
That's a good one.
And when someone dies, the community comes together. They bring you support. They bring you casseroles. They surround you with love. When it's divorce, not always. Just like you said, some friends back away because they feel it's contagious almost. If it happened to you, it could happen to them.
Yep. Or they take the other person's side.
Exactly.
Yeah, I had that happen.
Yes. And then so there's all these other losses that compound the loss of the marriage. There's the loss of the friendship. Sometimes there's a loss of your home, the financial loss, the loss of your parenting, you know, your child, the family has cracked and fallen apart. There's tremendous loss. And so I think that's the biggest difference is you don't necessarily get that same support as you would.
Exactly. And I'm glad you brought up the parenting. I'll just tell my listeners, in a couple of weeks, I'm going to kick off a whole series on parenting. We're going to be talking, and one of the things we're going to talk about, I'm going to have a mediator and a divorce lawyer in here, and we're going to talk about parenting children through divorce. So this topic's going to come up again, but you're right. And I remember with my daughter, she was in high school at the time, you know, she still had to deal with all of it. It was in some ways a little easier for me in that I could say, okay, I don't have to deal with him anymore. But I did because I had a child. And so that grieving lasted a really long time because every time we had to chat about our child, everything came back. Everything was triggered. And so it was really hard to work through that grief and that grieving period because you have a loss. And it's just, like you say, it's a constant reminder because they don't really go away, especially if you have children. So that kind of leads to the second piece, which is anger. When someone's divorcing, what should they be on the lookout for when it comes to experiencing anger? Because I know I've talked to clients, oh no, you know, I'm not angry. I'm over that. Oh no, they're angry. If they haven't dealt with it, it's in there. And boy, does it come out.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say.
I'm reading your mind.
Yeah. Anger has a really bad reputation, and it's a fabulous emotion. Yeah. Any emotions, if we don't acknowledge them, they stay there. They can't heal unless we acknowledge them, that's what you do all the time for people. And it's not the anger that can get us in trouble. It's what we do with the anger that can get us in trouble. But anger has a power to it and a strength to it. For me, it helped me get off the sofa. It's like an alarm bell almost that goes off and goes, something's not right. You better pay attention here. It is very helpful. It forces you to move forward, to make changes, to take responsibility. Very powerful. But if you're brought up to be a nice girl, you can get in a lot of trouble because do nice girls get angry?
No.
They can't get angry. And for me, I could do sad really well. I was so good at sad. But angry? No, I had some issues. So finally, you know, you start writing those letters that you don't send.
Yeah.
And, I was really good at that. I would just let her rip with those angry letters. And I was kind of getting, once I hit anger and I let it kind of bubble up, I kind of liked it. I thought I was going to stay there for a while. Well, let me just stay here for a while. And then one night in the middle of the night, I woke up and this voice said, "Not acceptable, bucko." So I think that's one of the issues that you have to be aware of is, you know, finally when you can get angry, great, go for it. But don't wallow in it. Right. If you stay there for too long, because I thought if I stayed angry and miserable, then I could say, see what he did to me, that no good, blah, 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 blah. And then he, that your ex, whoever your ex is, still has the power. There's still a relationship
right
there that's not healthy. So you need to learn to heal that.
Absolutely. And, you know, this is a really good point. And I've said this before in my shows that all emotions are good. Emotions are like the oil light on the dashboard of your car. It says there's something that needs attention and I need to be satisfied. I need to be fixed. And so all emotions are good in that they tell us there's a need, a want, or a desire that's not being met and we need to pay attention. And anger is about it's not fair. And so we need to take a look at, is it really not fair? And if it isn't, what can we do about it? So that emotion is satisfied in a good way. And when we stuff anger and we don't pay attention, I tell my clients, it's like drinking poison and hoping somebody else dies, because we will try to punish that person. And a lot of times they're done, they're over it and they're on with their life and they don't care. But man, when we hold on to it, it eats us up. So it's time for us to go to break now. I want to remind our audience, we're going to come back with Barb Greenberg from Rediscovering You. And we're taking calls. The number is 952-946-6205. I'm Roberta Fernandez, a board-certified hypnotist and the host of the Saturday show, Minding Your Health, author of Breaking Free from Pain and Opioids, Discovering the Hypnosis Option. Nearly one-third of all Americans suffer from chronic pain, and opioids kill almost 80 people a day. But there are options to using painkillers. Hypnosis has no negative side effects, and you can manage your own long-term care. In my book, I show you how to take back control of pain using self-hypnosis. Neuroscience has shown that the brain cannot tell the difference between what is real and what is vividly imagined. So in hypnosis, we retrain your brain how to process pain. Breaking Free from Pain and Opioids, Discovering the Hypnosis Option, tells you what you need to know. Find it today at fairhypnosis.com. That's F-A-R-E. Hypnosis.com.
Light plays an essential role in our everyday lives. It's fundamental for vision, providing color perception, shapes, and details. It enables us to see, read, and experience our world. However, every day the sun's UV rays attack the eye's cornea and the crystalline lens, which can lead to cataracts, with your vision becoming cloudy and colorless. Now, with modern LED lights and digital screens on smartphones and tablets, we're also exposed to much more blue-violet light that penetrates deeper into the eye and can severely damage the eye's retina in the long term. It's been shown to be one of the proven causes of age-related macular degeneration. That's why it's so important to protect your eyes from UV and blue light. Normal sunglasses do not block harmful blue light. Fortunately, Origins Eye Clinic has the latest technology in lenses. Request an appointment with Dr. Bain today and ask for a demonstration on blocking UV and blue light. Learn more at OriginsEyeClinic.com. Origins Eye Clinic. For health. For vision. For life.
Tired of having that next round of layoffs hanging over your head? Or doing a job instead of living your passion? Want to make a difference in people's lives? The Fair Hypnosis Center is a licensed school by the state of Minnesota, and we offer training to be a certified consulting hypnotist. With four ways to learn, the Fair Hypnosis Center provides curriculum, practice, and supervision that allows you to feel competent and confident to work with a wide variety of clients when you graduate. I'm Roberta Fernandez, a board-certified hypnotist and a certified professional hypnosis instructor. Whether you're considering a new career in hypnotism, or perhaps you're already in the caring profession like counseling, nursing, massage, or acupuncture, and you want to add another dimension to your skills, call today at 952-934-1315. Don't just change careers, change lives. Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. This is Roberta Fernandez with Minding Your Health. Today, we're here talking with Barb Greenberg from Rediscovering You, and we're talking about the emotional aspects of going through a divorce. We are taking calls this morning at 952-946-6205, so give us a call if you've got something you want to share. Barb, we were talking a lot about emotions before we left on the break, and all emotions are good. And yeah, we have been taught that girls aren't supposed to be angry. It comes easy for guys because that's okay for them. And I just want to say, you're right. It's not anger that is bad. It is what we do with it. And so finding that emotion, identifying it properly, and is it justifiable? Is it based in reality? And then what can I do to satisfy it is really, really important, because a lot of us have been taught to just stuff our emotions and not deal with them. So let's continue down that path. A lot of people going through divorce are overwhelmed. They feel a lot of anxiety. There's so many changes happening in their life, and it just gets too much. What can they do?
Oh, that's such a good question. And I sat on the sofa for a really long time, which sometimes you have to sit. Sometimes it really helps to get out in nature. Sometimes it helps to go for a walk. Sometimes it helps to journal. Sometimes it helps to get a massage if you can. Sometimes it helps to talk to a really good friend who doesn't try to fix it,
right,
but just lets you listen. It's really important to be super compassionate with yourself. I had a friend who, during her divorce, she used to take her little dog on a walk around the lake every day. And halfway around the lake, she physically could not take one more step, and she plopped herself down right in the middle of the walking path. She just couldn't move another step. She sat. And I thought, you know what? Good for you. Mm-hmm. You need to listen to your body. If you need to stop, stop. If you can't run all those errands, I tried to run errands, and I'd get in my car and I'd drive about 3 blocks and I'd have to come home.
Right.
I couldn't, and I think that's one of the reasons I didn't get really sick, is because I listened to my body.
Right. And a lot of people do exactly the opposite, don't they? They get so busy and they get so involved in something else that they don't allow themselves to experience what it is they're really feeling, that sadness, that anger, that grief, whatever it is. And that's just another way of stuffing it. We think that we're doing something really good for ourselves, but we're not really acknowledging and just letting ourselves feel. And that's where the physical problems can manifest. Because if you allow those things to build up inside of you, their emotions are meant to be expressed. And so it'll find a weak link in your body. And I've said this on my shows many times before, the only way for an emotion to be communicated from the subconscious, which is where it's formed, to the conscious mind, so that we know what we're feeling, is through the body. That's how we communicate. The body produces a sensation or a feeling. So if we're angry, maybe our face flushes. If we're in fear, the hair goes up on the back of our neck. That's our body's way of letting our conscious mind know what the emotion is inside of us. So it's a really, really good point just to allow it to be. And how do you do that with the women that that come to Rediscovering You?
Oh, that's a really good question. It's at the beginning of each class, people can go around the table. And if they want to share their story, they can. And it's not to whine, you know, put your hand on your forehead and moan.
Yeah.
But it's to share something in a spot where people understand.
Mm-hmm.
It's a safe place. And what you say helps somebody else. And what happens from that, because we do our best to keep it a very safe, warm, casual, relaxed atmosphere, is that the connections made between the women make a huge difference. They end up supporting each other, and someone will go, you know, I realize I've been staying really busy, and I finally stopped being busy, and all of a sudden those emotions were right back in front of my face again. I had avoided them for so long. It's exactly what you were saying. And someone said, being busy is an acceptable addiction
yes,
in this
it is.
Culture.
Mm-hmm.
And it can it can catch up. It does catch up with us.
It does. The busyness, and it can manifest in many forms. It can manifest in eating, like all that mac and cheese,
yes,
right? You know, for some of us, it's Thin Mints.
Yeah.
But and that's a plug for the Girl Scouts. I know they're selling cookies out there right now. So, you know, it can manifest in different ways. I call them distractors. It's what we do to distract ourselves from dealing with that emotion. And those distractors ultimately are very harmful, because the emotion stays there. It never goes away until we satisfy it. And it could be years. And what happens is we get triggered. And, you know, and this happened to me recently. I mean, it's almost 10 years since my divorce. And I was somewhere, and it was like this perfect storm, a place that seemed familiar to me. Music came on, you know, the Muzak where I was. And it was like, I found myself getting really emotional and feeling, and my mind went back to these old memories, and it was like, wow, where did that come from? And it's because our subconscious mind doesn't forget anything. It's all stored in there. So the more proficient we get at just letting them surface, saying, okay, I see you, let me deal with you, and satisfy that, the healthier we're going to be, right?
Right, and that makes me think of a great story, because that happened to me. I thought I was doing great. Oh, I'm over this. I'm teaching these classes. I'm so good. And something triggered.
Yeah.
And I went right back down. Woo, spiraled
down. It's amazing,
down.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine, so sweet, she goes, oh, that's the visit. You'll just get a visit once in a while. It's okay.
I haven't heard that term. That's a good term. Yeah.
She said, you know, the healthier you get, the less it happens,
yeah,
the less intense it is. But that's totally normal. Don't worry about it. It will pass. It's just a visit.
That's
and
right.
I just relaxed.
That's right. And that kind of leads us to fear. We've been told that fear offers us gifts. And all of these things are gifts. I mean, this is what I'm hearing from you. So for those of us that don't quite believe that, can you share some of those gifts?
Oh, I didn't believe it either. So there's a wonderful book called When Things Fall Apart.
Oh.
And she talks about fear. And one thing she says is fear is a chance to practice courage. And I thought, well, thanks. No, thank you. I'm not interested. But what a fabulous way to slowly realize you are stronger than you thought you were.
Yeah.
And you have more power than you thought you were. You did. And you are more resilient than you thought you were.
Right.
And the other thing she says is that fear happens when you're moving closer and closer to the truth. And I thought, oh, swell, what's the truth? Truth is, I'm really in trouble.
Yeah.
The truth is, all these terrible things have happened. My life is falling apart. You know, and I went down that road. And then I thought, oh, no, the truth is I'm kind of getting through this. I'm going to be okay. And the truth is, I've survived.
That's right.
What a gift that is, to know that you can survive. And there's a woman that was teaching on self-love. She had a bunch of us talk on self-love. And she said the theme about finding self-love is having a trauma and coming out of it.
That's right. You know, it's interesting you bring that up. I read this quote the other day by Joseph Campbell, who is just an amazing, amazing man. And I'm probably going to butcher this, but in essence, it said the cave that we fear the most holds our most profound treasures.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this is a huge lesson for all of us that have gone through any kind of trauma in our lives. We have to go to a break now, but we're going to pick up with this when we come back. We're here talking with Barb Greenberg with Discovering You, and we're taking your calls at 952-946-6205. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Did you know that the Mayo brothers were both hypnotists, and that their anesthesiologist, Alice McGaw, gave hypnotic techniques to every patient as she was administering the anesthesia? Do you have pain? Can't sleep? Getting ready for a surgical procedure or feeling pretty stressed? Still smoking or need to lose those excess pounds? Science clearly illustrates the efficacy of hypnosis and has shown it to be complementary to everything that you might be addressing with your doctor to assist in the underlying symptoms of your condition. Hypnosis worked for the Mayo brothers. It can for you, too. Discover how hypnosis can help you take back control of your everyday, ordinary problems. Call for a consultation today at the Fair Hypnosis Center, 952-934-1315, or schedule online at fairhypnosis.com. That's F-A-R-E, hypnosis.com.
Bob Sorg here from 212 Pottery, having returned to my studio after a summer of creative and adventurous endeavors. But I've got my sleeves rolled up and back doing what I love the most, making pottery. Mugs, peanuts and shells, stew mugs, I'm working on them all and I cannot stop. I know I don't say enough about our charming selection of gifts, handmade jewelry, scarves, handbags, and wellness products for that special someone. We are open Thursday through Saturday, 11 to 7, and Sunday, 12 to 4. See you soon at 212 Pottery, hot spot in a cool part of town.
I'm Roberta Fernandez, a board-certified hypnotist and the host of the Saturday show, Minding Your Health, author of Breaking Free from Pain and Opioids, Discovering the Hypnosis Option. Nearly one-third of all Americans suffer from chronic pain, and opioids kill almost 80 people a day. But there are options to using painkillers. Hypnosis has no negative side effects, and you can manage your own long-term care. In my book, I show you how to take back control of pain using self-hypnosis. Neuroscience has shown that the brain cannot tell the difference between what is real and what is vividly imagined. So in hypnosis, we retrain your brain how to process pain. Breaking Free from Pain and Opioids, Discovering the Hypnosis Option, tells you what you need to know. Find it today at fairhypnosis.com. That's F-A-R-E. Hypnosis.com. Do you want to sleep better, lose weight, have less pain, feel less stress, or get rid of a habit like smoking? At Fair Hypnosis, we help ordinary people with ordinary everyday problems. Hypnosis is a heightened state of awareness in which you're open to new thoughts and ideas that you really want. To get the change you desire, book an appointment today at fairhypnosis.com. That's F-A-R-E, hypnosis.com.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Peter Lee. Becoming partly cloudy today with highs in the lower 30s, west winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Mostly cloudy tonight with a 40% chance of snow late, and then decreasing clouds on Sunday with highs in the mid-30s.
Minnesota's appliance specialist at Warner Stellion are offering the kind of freeze you'll warm right up to. Save 10% on Bosch and KitchenAid dishwashers, then save more with fast, free, professional installation. February freeze through the 27th from Minnesota's original appliance specialist, Warner Stellion.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Roberta Fernandez, and this is Minding Your Health here on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. We're talking with Barb Greenberg from Rediscovering You, and we're talking about all those messy emotions, but essential emotions that we experience going through divorce. And when we left, we were talking about fear, and Barb has got a couple things that she wants to say about that, but it really struck one of the things that you said, a chord with me in working with a client I had this week, who is really having a hard time getting over divorce, and he was a guy. And so I want to remind our listeners that everything that we're saying, even though Barb's organization caters toward women, this is an equal problem, and sometimes even more so with men, because women aren't so afraid to go seek help and to express their emotions. Men, on the other hand, you know, they've been taught that's not a manly thing to do at all. And so it can be even more profound for them, I think. But when we left, we were talking about fear. So you had said something very interesting that you wanted to add to that, Barb.
Well, first of all, I realized when you talked about men, I heard on NPR one day an author talking about issues, and he said the three most dangerous words in the English language are be a man.
Oh, yes.
Because that traps you. You're
it
trapped.
Yep.
What a terrible thing that you have to fit in this box and can't access so many pieces of yourself.
Yeah, and we talk about that with women all the time, and we are more natural emoters and nurturers, and everything is just kind of the makeup of our beings. But you know, we have lots of things that are that oppress us, and that our generations have done to women to put them in a box, but so have men. And doing the work that I do, it is amazing how detrimental those three words are to men, because they've all heard it, and it really is unfortunate. And so for those women that are out there and those men that are listening, talk to your boys in a very different way. It's really essential if we ever want to break this cycle. So, fear.
Oh, fear. There's one more thing I wanted to mention. Well, there could be a bunch, but this is the one. We had a workshop, or I was at a workshop one day, and some dear woman who was very ill and needed to leave the relationship she was in was waiting. She said, "I'm waiting for all my ducks to get in a row."
Good luck with that.
And you know, you can get a duck or two going.
Yeah, but it's like herding cats.
Yeah, right. And then there's more ducks hatching all the time. And meanwhile, she was getting more and more ill, very significantly ill. And I thought, how many of us, that's a fear. That's from fear.
It
that,
is from
you
fear,
know,
yeah.
Not being so cautious or having to have it done perfectly. It's better to get it done than being perfect. Just
right.
Go.
Right. Yeah, and fear is an emotion, but it has a very physiological effect on us because our brains are wired to keep us safe. And fear is an essential emotion that helps keep us safe. And when we ignore that, it goes against everything that our mind and our body is designed to do, and that's to protect us. So fear is definitely an emotion that has to be satisfied. And my feeling about emotions is that there's really only two. Everything comes from love or fear, and everything in the middle is just on the spectrum somewhere. And so fear, because we're always, obviously the love part usually doesn't cause us too many problems. When we work with fear, it really is at the root of so much. Fear of being left alone, fear of, can we survive without someone in our life? Can I be happy without somebody else? How can I provide for myself? Where am I going to live? I don't earn enough money. What about my kids? It's all fear related, isn't it?
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
It is. Which also leads to shame. And shame, you know, I'm a big fan of Brené Brown. And for my listeners who don't know who she is, Google her and her TED Talk. She's got two of them out there. They're amazing. Her book, Daring Greatly, is awesome. And I'm reading now The Gifts of Imperfection. And she talks a lot about shame. Why do you think women feel shame when they divorce?
Well, I have the perfect example that just right on the button. There was a woman in one of our classes who was very ashamed of being divorced. And it was a small group, so somebody leaned over and said, "Well, why do you think that? Why do you feel such shame?" And she paused and she thought. And then like a light bulb went on over her head and she went, "Oh, I always judged other women who are divorcing."
That's
and
right.
That was it. And it's a friend of mine says that's the gray swamp of what will people think. You
that's
get
right.
lost in the swamp, and it takes a lot of energy to be always worrying about what somebody else is thinking instead of trying to figure out who you are.
That's right.
And being true to yourself.
That's right. And it all does come from judgment, either having been judged by someone else or, in this woman's case, judging someone. And both sides of that coin are equally as detrimental to our health. And it is very hard because we are a society that is always wondering, what do other people think of us? Because we're expected to be perfect, right? And none of us are. I mean, that word, I don't think I've ever had a client that's come into my office that hasn't had issues with perfection. And it all stems around from what other people think. And that causes us great shame, and we don't think that we're living up to those standards.
And commercials help so much.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I went through a phase where I thought like an Olympic judge was going to jump up from behind my washing machine with a scorecard that my whites weren't white enough, or
that's right.
my teeth weren't
you
white
got a
enough,
two.
Or my hair was too frizzy or not curly or too curly, or, I mean, the list goes on and on and
absolutely.
On. Driving the wrong car, wearing the wrong lipstick. I mean, it's just exhausting.
It is exhausting, which leads me, perfect segue, Barb, thank you.
You're welcome.
To depression.
Oh,
because depression
exhausting.
Is nature's way of exhausting us and saying, I just can't deal with this right now. I have to rest. I have to step back. Now, we're not talking the kind of depression that you need a therapist for. That's a whole different matter. But our body does have a natural emotion that leads us to depression so that we don't implode or explode, that we can say, I got to step back. I need to sleep. I need to rest. Can you share a few symptoms of depression and maybe your personal experience?
That's exactly what you said. There were a couple things that happened before and then during the divorce, and I found myself on the sofa, not able to function. I went to a therapist, and she said, oh, well, gee, your body's smarter than you are. I'm not going to put you on any medication. Your body knows exactly what you're supposed to do. If you're supposed to sit on the sofa, sit on the sofa. And I went home, and at first I was rather relieved that there was a name for what was happening to me. And then I thought, oh, that's not acceptable. In this culture, it's not acceptable to sit still. If you're not doing something, you have no value. In this culture, if you're not doing something, you have no value. How terrible is that? That's just a terrible thing. And then I realized, you know, it's okay to travel up the ladder of success. It's okay to travel down into out into the world. That's good to travel out into the world, but to stop and travel down into yourself, into those, what you said, the Joseph Campbell, those caves in your heart of where you've buried all those things. And that's a sacred journey. That's a sacred journey because that's where you can find all those pieces, those treasures that you can slowly pull up. It's a lifetime of taking them out into the light, but you can pull them up into the light and you can start becoming whole again.
Right.
And my symptoms were, well, the sofa. I couldn't stop crying. If I ate, I felt nauseous. If I didn't eat, I felt dizzy. I couldn't make a decision because if I made the wrong decision, something terrible was going to happen. And I just sat. And I've read a book called Care of the Soul by Thomas More. This was years later, which I wish I had would have had that information
at that time, yeah.
But
you might not have been open to it.
That's very true.
Yeah.
And he said, depression has its own angel that takes you away to the far corners of your soul where you will find the wisdom that is there for you.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Oh, so that's, I think we have to be very gentle with ourselves. And I'm glad you said, you know, I always say, go get help, check with a therapist. But if it's something like me, you know, trust your body.
Right.
Trust
your body. You're going through a major change in your life, especially for you. You were long-term married, and it's a huge change, and it does affect you, and it is overwhelming, and it can lead to that place where you're just exhausted, and you need to just take a break from all of it and be, and listen to your body. And it was really interesting for me as a hypnotist, listening to your words, how many physical symptoms you described, how it was manifesting in your body. If you didn't eat, you felt hungry. And if you did eat, you felt nauseous. And this is the way it works. This is our subconscious mind's way of communicating to our conscious mind. And it does it through the body. And so the body can only take so much. It gets exhausted. The conscious mind gets exhausted. And we need to take a break. And so while I don't think that there's a time frame for how long is it okay to feel depressed, and that's why the help is important. But the rush to drugs or medication right away, that just keeps you from dealing with what you need to deal with. It fogs your mind, and then you can't discern those emotions. So, you know, I encourage people to get help, but not to be quick to jump to the drugs, where we're defeating the purpose of the depression, which is to allow us to rest and to heal. I think that's very, very important. You know, I was talking to a woman the other day, and she said something really interesting, and this came to mind while you were talking, that nothing is linear. It's not like coming up out of things, like going up a ladder. It's more like a spider web. And that, you know, we head off in one direction and then are pulled another way and then in another direction. And I thought, wow, that's really a very cool way of looking at a lot of things in life, actually. So we've got about 2 minutes left before break, and I really want to touch on this. And this is, we may have to finish it when we come back, but loneliness. Especially for those people that have been married a long time, who've been in that relationship where they are a part of, how can someone ease the pain of loneliness?
Oh, that's even as an introvert, where I need to my private time, I was getting lonely.
Yeah.
And I had to start little teeny, teeny steps, like go to the caribou and just sit there where there's people around.
Yeah.
I didn't have to talk to anybody. I could just sit there and hide behind a book if I needed to. Going for lunch with a friend was wonderful, but it exhausted me.
Yeah.
I had to go home afterwards and not, I was done for the whole day. That amazed me because I'm the kind of person that used to go, 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 go. And there I was. I could do lunch with a friend and then I had to stop. Just being compassionate with yourself. There is a wonderful woman in our groups who started volunteering. She volunteers at a, I think, a food shelf. And she volunteers at a school for young children and helps them read. So something like that that gets you out of yourself a little bit, that makes you feel like you're contributing. And if you can do it, fine. If you can't do it, just back off. I tried to do a workshop, what was 8 weeks in a row, and I had to stop. I could just go the first week, and I couldn't go again. Wow. I had to wait almost a year to go back, and then I could do it.
Yeah.
So just be patient. That's a big one. Just be patient. Be compassionate with yourself.
Well, when we come back, I want to pick up on this thread of loneliness. We're talking with Barb Greenberg with Rediscovering You. And when we'll be back in just a couple of minutes to continue this wonderful discussion. Thanks, good. Barb. Tired of having that next round of layoffs hanging over your head? Or doing a job instead of living your passion? Want to make a difference in people's lives? The Fair Hypnosis Center is a licensed school by the state of Minnesota, and we offer training to be a certified consulting hypnotist. With four ways to learn, the Fair Hypnosis Center provides curriculum, practice, and supervision that allows you to feel competent and confident to work with a wide variety of clients when you graduate. I'm Roberta Fernandez, a board-certified hypnotist and a certified professional hypnosis instructor. Whether you're considering a new career in hypnotism, or perhaps you're already in the caring profession like counseling, nursing, massage, or acupuncture, and you want to add another dimension to your skills, call today at 952-934-1315. Don't just change careers, change lives. You know that cigarette or that half a bag of cookies isn't the answer to whatever's stressing you out. Is your cough worse in the morning? The number on that scale creeping up every week? If old habits of any kind are standing in your way of being the best you can be, the Fair Hypnosis Center can help you do something about it. Hypnosis can help you be more motivated and confident in achieving your goals. It helps you get to the reasons and root cause of your beliefs and allows you to kick that habit once and for all. I'm Roberta Fernandez, a board-certified hypnotist at the Fair Hypnosis Center in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, and I use hypnosis to help you succeed when nothing else has worked. Let us help you determine if hypnosis is the right choice for you. Call us at 952-934-1315 or schedule online at www.fairehypnosis.com. Did you know that the Mayo brothers were both hypnotists and that their anesthesiologist, Alice McGaw, gave hypnotic techniques to every patient as she was administering the anesthesia? Do you have pain? Can't sleep? Getting ready for a surgical procedure or feeling pretty stressed? Still smoking or need to lose those excess pounds? Science clearly illustrates the efficacy of hypnosis and has shown it to be complementary to everything that you might be addressing with your doctor to assist in the underlying symptoms of your condition. Hypnosis worked for the Mayo brothers. It can for you too. Discover how hypnosis can help you take back control of your everyday, ordinary problems. Call for a consultation today at the Fair Hypnosis Center, 952-934-1315, or schedule online at fairhypnosis.com. That's fairehypnosis.com. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Roberta Fernandez, and this is Minding Your Health. We're talking about divorce today and all those emotions that get us caught up in that process. Barb Greenberg from Rediscovering You is here today. And when we left off, we were talking about loneliness. And loneliness is defined as that need that we have to connect with other people. And so when we left, we were talking about, you know, going out and sitting in a coffee shop, because it is hard. I remember feeling, and this was so irrational, but it is really what I felt. All the first, you know, the first time I went somewhere where you would normally go as a couple, like to the movies, sitting there all by myself, I just felt like everyone was staring at me like, what's wrong with her? Why is she here by herself? You know, so doing those little steps like going to a coffee shop or seeing that movie for the first time by yourself or just getting out and being social, because it is hard. It's the last thing we feel like doing sometimes when we're not in a good place emotionally. So I'm really glad you brought that up, Barb. One of the things we were talking about during the break was jealousy and envy. And some people would use those words interchangeably, but there's a difference, isn't there?
There is, and it took me a while to find it. And it turns out, if you look on the website, the best definition is from Homer Simpson.
Oh, gosh, tell me what that is.
But I don't know. I can't do it exactly. But envy is two people. You're mm-hmm. envious of somebody's house or somebody's car or somebody's okay. career. Jealousy, there's a third person involved, somebody took something away from you, usually your spouse or your significant other. And that's where the difference is.
Yep. And a lot of times in divorce, there's been infidelity, or there's the suspicion of infidelity, or maybe there hasn't been, but then he remarries, gets a girlfriend, and you find out through a friend or your children or whatever, and that green-eyed monster comes into play, doesn't it?
Oh, yes.
And how do you see that? How do you work with that with your clientele?
Well, I'm always so fascinated because the third person that appears in the relationship, that's not the person to get upset with.
That's right.
they didn't you know, promise to honor you or to be your partner for life. That's not their, you know, that's not their responsibility. It's
right.
between the two of you. And I remember when that happened in my situation, I almost wanted to go to the other person and go, oh, honey, no.
Don't do this. You're making a mistake.
But I thought, she'll figure it out.
That's her path.
Yeah, that's her path. But, you know, people get, there's so much pain that you lash out at inappropriate people. It's like yelling at the woman in the checkout line.
Right.
It's like it doesn't fit.
That's right. That's right. And it doesn't do anything to satisfy what you're feeling either.
That's right.
So a lot of times we will choose inappropriate ways to deal with what we're feeling. And it goes back to that. Well, that's great. But it's kind of like a distractor in and of itself, because it's distracting us not from the emotion, we're feeling it, but because we're not satisfying it appropriately, it's never going to be resolved. There's never going to be resolution. That's really a great analogy there. Homer Simpson, I'm going to look that up on your website. The last thing I want to talk about today, and it's something that I find to be the most powerful part of one of the processes I use with my clients, is forgiveness. Forgiveness is a choice. Most people, I find, don't understand what it means to forgive. We think it's for the other person, when it has nothing to do with them. You know, maybe your ex, you know, was scummy. Maybe he was, I don't know, he beat you or he cheated on you or whatever it is. He doesn't deserve forgiveness for that. But forgiveness isn't for him. You don't have to condone what he did. You don't have to even tell him. But forgiveness is for us, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, because it's a weight that we carry around that keeps us stuck when we can't let go of it. What do you think keeps people from being able to forgive?
Oh, boy. I think you think you're going to be vulnerable mm-hmm. if you forgive. And forgiveness doesn't make you vulnerable. Forgetting makes you vulnerable.
That's right, because you don't learn if you forget,
yes,
right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think you get stuck. You get stuck being miserable, and it's hard to undo that. I had, but I do have I don't know if this is an appropriate story or not, but I'll share it. Two stories. One is a dear friend of mine, also divorced after many, many years of marriage, and she went to her priest and she said, "Oh, I want to forgive this man. How long is it going to take me? I just can't seem to get to forgiveness." And this 80-year-old priest who'd seen it all, done it all, patted her on the arm and said, "Oh, honey, you might not live long enough. Don't even worry about it."
Oh, my gosh.
But what that did for her is then you stop thinking about the other person, forgiving the other person, and you start working on yourself. And that's the shift. When you start to work on yourself and heal yourself and take care of yourself, then the forgiveness is just, it just happens.
Yeah.
It's just part of the package because it's not an issue anymore. So I think he just was trying to shift her focus back to healing herself.
Yeah.
And I have an odd story, but it really fits with this, I think. I used to be I'm still a horse person. I love horses. And I was at the barn one day, and a friend of mine's horse had gotten a puncture wound in the pasture. So it was a little hole, but it was very deep. And she rinsed it off and wrapped it up, and she thought she was fine. And the next morning, she came back, and the leg was all swollen and infected. And the vet came out, and he said, "Oh, with very deep wounds, you need to keep it opened and let it heal from the inside out." And it's going to be very...
Nice metaphor.
Isn't it great? It's so great. It's going to be really messy. It's going to be pussy. It's going to smell terrible. But that's the only way it can heal is from the inside out. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's it.
That's a beautiful metaphor, actually.
Isn't it wonderful?
Yeah.
And then we had a woman that made it even a little easier. She said... She changes the word from forgiveness to release.
Yes.
There's not so many judgments around that word.
Yep. I like to use the word letting go.
Oh, same.
Yeah, because it is. It is about letting go. And some people, again, it's how we grow up with a definition of forgiveness. It usually means letting them off the hook or condoning what they did or forgetting about it. And you're right. When we forget, sometimes we forget the learning that went with it. And that's never good because it makes us vulnerable then to repeating the same mistake, right? So, you're right. Letting go is an easier word, but there is also a certain amount of forgiveness for yourself too, because the one thing that we haven't touched on is that we are all culpable, at least to some degree, in divorce, right? So, Barb, we're running out of time here. Gosh, we could just talk about this stuff forever. This has been amazing. I do want to tell our audience, how can they reach you? Where can they find out about Rediscovering You?
The best place to do that is to go to our website, which is rediscovering, the ing at the end, rediscovering you like a university, the letter U.
Excellent. Barb, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your wisdom. You are certainly a delight. I want to thank everybody out there for joining us. I'm Roberta Fernandez with the FAIR Hypnosis Center. You can find me at FAIR, F-A-R-E, hypnosis.com. Join us next week. I've got a guest coming back, Roxanne Keyes at the Center for Life Design. She's going to be discussing trauma touch massage. And this is going to be a great show, so make sure that you tune in or look at it on my website or the archives here. Have a mindful week.